Just a quick question for anyone who is on the call. Before we get into what we're going to talk about today, which is going to be creating a bulletproof heart, and can we actually reverse atherosclerosis? We'll go through some stuff on that. Has anyone in here ever got a coronary calcium score done? No. Okay. Interesting one for y'all to do. It's only $50 in the States, apparently. But we'll go through that. We'll go through a little bit of that today. Anybody got any wins for the week that they want to share? Please don't make me call you out. Yeah, man. No, nothing. Not one win.
I guess I'll say
Oh,
no. Well,
go on, John, go first.
I was just going to say that I mean it's my third week now, and just finally getting in all the workouts for the week. So I mean the last couple of weeks I missed some, so just glad to get them in.
Nice, John.
Oh,
No, that's
yeah.
good.
I
That's
just
good.
didn't book because I've been kicking ass and taking so many names.
Say that again.
I just had to get a new book. Because I've been kicking ass and taking so many names.
Nice. Anybody else? Okay. And just a heads up, guys, for any of you that were interested in the trip to Marbella, it's April 8th until the 14th, that it's been changed to. So if anybody still wants access to that, get in contact with Sarah, or we can drop the link in the group again. I know from experience from Costa Rica, it's absolutely game changing for any of your training goals, man. It's a special week. It's also nice not to see you all on screen. No one knows how tall we are. No one know. We don't know how tall you are. We intend to see you from here up. So it'd be lovely to see you all in person if possible. How tall Greg is, yeah. And Andrew too, in fairness. Okay, let me get my site set up and then we'll get going. So I created this. You guys will get access to this on the back end of the pro on the back end of your website soon enough. So when you log into Academy, you'll be able to go into protocols. If you guys want access to any of the dosages, you can like of any of the supplements that I recommend. I'll also, if you want to ask on the call, I can go through them as well. But what we're going to discuss today is how to create a bulletproof heart and can we reverse atherosclerosis? Atherosclerosis, I'll go through what it is quickly when we get out, when I go through the presentation. But basically, it's the buildup of plaque within your arteries. And as dudes, we got to remember this disease is most likely what's going to take us. It's the biggest killer worldwide, particularly of men. And the reason why I asked if any of you guys have done a coronary calcium score. There's lots of fa there's new fancier methods now to check it, but coronary calcium score is pretty cheap. One of my clients got one recently for $50 in the States, which is incredible because it costs like £600 in the UK, and it will tell you if there's any calcification of your arteries. It gives you that indication and it allows you to make changes now because it tends to be something that accumulates over time. People wait until they have an event. So, whether that's a heart attack, a stroke, whether they get some sort of disease like peripheral arterial disease, or they start to develop cognitive decline. We can find this stuff way earlier and it tends to accumulate from the age of 40. So, definitely something you want to concern yourself with. But let's start getting through some of it and I'll stop at certain stages as well. So, everyone see that okay? Just give me a thumbs up. Lovely. So we're going to go through the plaque reversal guide. As I discussed, this is something that accumulates from early on within our lives. It's not something that accumulates at 60 plus. I know a lot of men in their 30s and 40s that have gone to get a coronary calcium score to check if there's any sort of atherosclerosis, and they're finding it. And we're going to talk about today how it occurs. Well, I won't be able to do it in 15 minutes, but that was my goal for when I initially did it. We're going to talk about what it actually is. We're going to talk about what causes it, but we're going to talk from a top-down approach. And what I mean by that is we're going to talk directly. Why is that? Hold on a sec. I'm getting a problem this end. Can someone just confirm that me clicking through these slides is working for you?
Greg, I see
It's not.
one little
Yeah,
like
I don't. Yeah. Oh,
preview.
yeah. No, it says I've got some sort of problem with screen share. Hold on a sec. Let me try that again. Let's hope. Keeps going, saying my screen sharing is paused for some reason. Right. You can see it when it's like that, though, right?
Yeah, I think before you hit present, Greg. Yeah, I see it that way.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
we get a split screen of it because we have your left side stuff going on.
That's not too bad. Let's leave it like that because I don't know why. When I put it into presentation mode, it just seems to come and just stay on the same thing. So where was I? Yes, correct. So we know that this stuff accumulates from early age. So it's something that I think for everybody we can assess and determine early because it's always regarded as a progressive disease. And that doesn't have to be the case. So when I talk about it today, I'm going to talk about from top down. And what that means is we're going to actually look at what causes damage at the cell lining. So think about atherosclerosis as the buildup of plaque, and I'll go through in a little bit more detail, actually within your veins, your arteries, and your capillaries. Okay. And we're going to look at the damage that's done there. There's loads of things outside of that that can affect or create that damage, but that's probably something for another call. I can discuss it in slightly more detail for some of you if you have any particular issues, and I'll mention what they are. So if you have some issues outside, so if you think outside of your cardiovascular system that might be causing issues with it, we can go through in a little bit more detail at the end. Right? But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what it is, what causes it, what lifestyle factors and diet affect it, and then what supplements can support it. There's some really, really cool new research coming out on nutritional supplementations or nutraceuticals that have been shown to not just because when you always hear reversal of heart disease and atherosclerosis, it normally just means that you're stopping its advance. It doesn't actually mean you're taking the plaque away. But there's been some recent studies that have come out that have shown to be that there is some benefit here. And in one of them, it showed reversal of about 30% over a year. So this isn't going to be something that's going to happen straight away. But with diet, nutrition, and lifestyle and supplementation, we can actually influence the reversal of this. So why is it important? Most likely what's going to kill you, big enough reason. More abundant in men, begins early in age, and it's normally without symptom. So it's not something that you will recognize as being an issue for you. Now, we will touch on some of the symptoms of poor circulation earlier than when it becomes a systemic issue. So, when we look at poor circulation, guys, and you can put this in the chat for me. What do you guys see as some of the first symptoms of poor circulation? And people always reach to something else when they think about this. So just put it in the chat. Cold hands and feet is always a good one. Cold limbs. Yep. Ah, and that's a good point. So extremities. What do people always associate with low testosterone that might be a poor circulation issue? Swelling's actually a good one. I'll come back to that. ED, thank you very much. So erectile dysfunction is normally the first sign of poor circulation. So Russell's spot on. And most of us, although there's a link, so nitric oxide is actually what vasodilates our blood vessels and allows blood flow to move through it more fluidly. And there is this interrelationship between testosterone and nitric oxide, but nitric oxide tends to be the first thing that drops. And the first thing people tend to seek out in that circumstance is testosterone, when really this is probably a nitric oxide issue, outside of all the psychological issues that come with it as well. But it's important to remember that there's some of the symptoms. Some of the other things that I look for in men, mild cognitive decline, brain fog can be an issue with circulation to the brain. But cold hands and feet, I always look for. But how funky and disgusting are your toenails is something I always ask clients. Like, are we finding discoloration in the nail bed? Are you noticing the top is starting to yellow? Are you starting to lose hair in your lower leg? Do you have spider veins or varicose veins? They can be early signs of poor circulation in people. Let's not forget high blood pressure, but that's something that doesn't come with symptoms generally. So there are things that you want to consider. Now, at a very basic level, atherosclerosis is thickening or hardening of the arteries. By buildup of plaque in the inner lining of the artery, you can read that. People will always say, is cholesterol a problem or is LDL a problem? And I'll touch on that in a sec. What do you guys think? Because when you look at the nutritional sphere, when you start to delve into the depths of YouTube, some people will tell you it's the only reason. Some people will tell you it's not a reason at all. I would probably stick somewhere in the middle. But put it in the chat. Do you guys think cholesterol or LDL, more importantly, what you guys get checked at your doctors, is an important factor when it comes to heart disease? And can you tell me why? That's going to be difficult now. Just put it in the chat. Don't make me call anybody out. Nobody? All right, we'll go through it. No, but don't know why. Think I've just heard it here. Right. Good answer. Love it. Yes, but don't believe I can do anything about it. I'd argue, unless it's a genetic issue. Like that answer? Aha! Antonio. Very good. So, it is an issue when there's inflammation, right? Now, this looks daunting. Let's not get bogged down in what's happening here. Just look at the endothelial lining. So this is the lining of all your blood vessels, right? LDL, even in higher amounts generally, when it's floating around in the lumen or in your blood, isn't necessarily a problem. The problem is when we get endothelial dysfunction. So when something is causing damage to this lining, and they've put a few bits in here. So high blood sugar, cigarette smoking, dyslipidemia, hypertension, generalized inflammation, oxidative stress are the things that they didn't put in here. So there has to be something that damages your endothelial wall before LDL can become a real problem. Okay, because what happens, was it, I can't remember who mentioned it, was it Antonio? When LDL gets in, it gets oxidized. And that's when it becomes a problem because it causes an immune response. It causes monocytes to come within the cell, turn into macrophages, try and engulf them. Long story short, when it can't remove them, it starts to develop these foam cells. And these foam cells start to shorten and narrow your arterial walls. And people might think, right, So it'll cause issue here, but you can think about that way more extensively because look at some of the side effects of cardiovascular disease. We can look at dementia, kidney failure, kidney disease, all the other things that come with it. Okay. So I would say LDL in of itself isn't a true representation. It's something that has to be tracked. But if you're perfectly healthy with limited, we all have a little bit of inflammation, with limited inflammation, oxidative stress, you don't smoke, you don't have high blood sugar, you control stress, it probably won't be the thing that's going to cause damage. So it's always when you get stuck out in the Twittersphere and you're hearing two really extreme pieces of information, you probably want to consider it to be somewhere in the middle. All right. So not that you should ignore it. But there's other markers on a blood test that you can track as well that will give you a way better indication of what's going wrong. Here is probably what is causing the damage. Some sort of inflammation or oxidative stress. Inflammation is a real broad term, and it can be caused by so many different things. But you generally want to think about like blood sugar dysregulation, issues with gut lining, the inability, like mitochondrial dysfunction, which we've discussed before. So the inability to produce energy efficiently, those things tend to cause inflammation. If any of you guys, if I have to, so the one thing that annoys me about, I'm not anti-Western medicine in a lot of ways, but in some ways I am. When I hear people connect, what's your blood pressure? And they go, I don't know, but my doctor said it's fine. I'm like, that's not good enough for me. If your systolic blood pressure is above 120, so if that top number is above 120, I look at that as an issue. Blood pressure is something that we have control over, and it's something that we can influence really, really quickly. Low nitric oxide is huge, guys. This is why I ask the majority of my clients about circulation. Do you have any issues with circulation? Is there spider veins in your lower leg, like we touched on? Is there erectile dysfunction going on? Is there some sort of brain fog, cold hands and feet? Cold hands and feet can be a few different things, but it normally comes back to this blood sugar. Now, the other factors are things outside of your actual blood vessels. And that's good. I'm glad he's doing that for you. Blood, other factors that can influence cardiovascular function, liver function, gut function, the amount of visceral fat that you have. Like if you're carrying visceral fat, which is that deep lying fat that sits around your organs, that causes systemic inflammation no matter what. So we can talk about all these other fancy things. If you are still accumulating or you have a lot of excess body fat, you have to drop that. There can be some hormonal issues here. So low thyroid hormone, low testosterone can be an issue in certain men. But there are other factors outside. History of traumatic brain injuries can be an issue here, which can cause uncontrolled blood pressure. All right. But I always think one of the things that's not spoken about in the literature very much, and I can't get an answer, is what happens because the bacteria within our gut sheds its outer lining when we have what's called dysbiosis. So when the bacteria within our gut isn't in balance, it sheds its outer lining. That can get into circulation and has actually been found in the plaque that causes atherosclerosis. And that makes me worried that there is really a very much a gut component to this as well. But me being very interested in the gut, I would probably lean that way anyway. Now, what's the solution? It's multifaceted, right? So, like, if we're gonna ignore all the other factors today, so I'm not gonna talk about liver function, gut function, brain function, all those other things. It would be too long a conversation to have. But dietarily, what tends to be in most of the research, the most beneficial dietary approach for heart health You can think about those top three probably being the most important. It's low carb, or I should say low sugar, low processed food, really high fiber, high mono and polyunsaturated fats. It's something that we don't tend to concern ourselves with in the bodybuilding sphere. We don't care if we have a fat target, we don't tend to care where it comes from. So we concern ourselves with just hitting that target. Olive oil, fish oil are really, really important to overall health. Now, in the research, it says low normal protein. I don't necessarily buy that. I've put that in here because it's what most of the research says. And I'm on a high protein diet. Steve is, and probably Andrew is as well. And most of you guys are. I don't think that's detrimental to our heart health, but it has to be compensated with enough fruit, vegetables, and fiber sources to go with it for to mitigate some of the problems that come with high protein diets. And if you guys want me to go into more detail on some of the side effects of high protein diets, we can. Low saturated fat, low sugar, and it predominantly looks like a Mediterranean diet. So fish, oil, vegetables, and a little bit of red wine. But diet-wise, that tends to be what it looks like. Low alcohol, low to no alcohol, no smoking, and avoidance of toxins. So I don't tend to go into toxins very regularly on these chats because it's something that is unavoidable for us, and it tends to become quite obsessive for a lot of people. I always like the story. I remember listening to one guy talking about it, where he used to get so obsessive about toxins that, you know, when you go, I don't know if they have them in the States, but you know, when you go to pee in a urinal and they have those things up in the corner that spray out scent, that's supposed to be what they would call like a toxin, right? So it is a xenoestrogen. And he used to try and piss as quickly as he could in order to avoid the time of the day where that happens to spray, right? We don't need that obsession. But using stuff like filtered water, using stuff like air purifiers in the room you spend the most time in, where you sleep can be one of them, and possibly where you spend your day working can be another one. Combination training seems to be the most important. Now, they don't talk about weightlifting very much, but in the research, they talk about low muscle mass being a predictor of heart disease. So you can't avoid weightlifting. Having high levels of muscle mass tends to be protective into later age for the vast majority of the population. And one of the things that we see with atherosclerosis, one of the side effects is frailty. So maintaining muscle mass into later years is really important. But aerobic exercise for mitochondrial function is probably thought of as the most effective way at maintaining cardiovascular function. But then high intensity training, so whether that's interval training, seems to be of benefit to produce nitric oxide. So as we're talking about trying to put together like a plan, most of the stuff that you guys are doing right now is probably good enough outside of some of the genetic idiosyncrasies that we tend to find in some people. Most of what you guys now are doing right in terms of training and diet, but there's probably a few things that you need to consider yourself with. So read that. I think that goes and tells you a lot about what sleep and what role it actually plays. Poor sleep quality will advance or possibly be one of the factors that begins to accumulate atherosclerotic plaque. So, if you're struggling with sleep or you don't prioritize it, it has to be something that you look at before you start jumping down. Because we're all really quick to spend money and jump down the supplemental route, but sleep and stress are huge. One of the studies I saw on stress when it talked about cardiovascular risk said, is stress, and I'm bastardizing it slightly, is stress the patient zero of atherosclerosis? Is it the origin of it? And a lot of researchers tend to think it is. So I don't know how many times I've heard people say, oh, I'm too stressed or I don't have time to meditate. Probably means you need it the most. Or it probably means you're not good at it. So you need to practice it. So whether that's meditation, doesn't necessarily have to be. It can be elements of breath work, whatever it is in your life that lowers stress, whether it's spending time with loved ones. It is stress reduction is not alcohol consumption or watching television. Okay? That's mind numbing. It's not input. So you need to consider that. A lot of people say, I got what do you do to relax? Oh, I watch TV. Meh, no, don't buy it. Not to say you can't watch television. That's not what I'm saying, but it is not your dedicated time to stress reduction. You need to look at something else. So I normally say to people meditation, but different types of heart math have been shown to be beneficial. You could look at something like heat exposure can be quite beneficial in that way as well. So if you want to use a sauna, that's also a benefit. Okay. Now, I have this entire protocol written out. And it will be available for you guys soon enough on the back end. So if you guys ever want to go in and take certain bits of this out, you're more than welcome to. But there's a couple of supplements that were used here. One in particular, if you guys look at natokinase, probably something a lot of you guys haven't heard of before. It's isolated enzyme that comes from soybeans or natto. And there's a study that came out in 2022 that showed that high dose, so 12,000 fibrinolytic units a day for a year, lowered or reduced atherosclerotic plaque by almost 30%. That is unheard of. That just doesn't exist out there. Like I said, the most beneficial thing that I always thought that I could do for clients who had this problem was stop the progression. Natokinase is big here. And it's now the first thing that tends to go in my protocol if I think someone has coagulation of their blood or buildup of atherosclerotic plaque. I'll go through the rest of them. Fish oil and B vitamins just tend to be these things that, like in big cohort studies, show really strong benefit with overall outcomes in terms of heart health. Probably because fish oil lowers inflammation, B vitamins help with something called homocysteine. Homocysteine is a blood marker you all should get. If you're doing standardized blood testing, it's homocysteine is a part of the methylation cycle that you guys probably always hear about. They always do testing for do you have any SNPs in methylation to see if there's a problem. But if we don't methylate properly, we build up something called homocysteine, and that's quite damaging to your arteries. And B vitamins tends to offset that. Plant sterols actually fight for the same receptors as your own cholesterol. So they're like plant cholesterol. And what that does is it means that your body doesn't see the need to produce more. So it's really beneficial. The other one that's been shown to actually reduce it in one study, no, two more, apologies, in one study was pycnogenol and Centellium is actually the brand name of Centella Asiatica. Life Extensions does one called Artero Protect, I believe it's called. And these two in combination have been shown to reverse atherosclerosis by 10%, or at least in the vast majority of the population, stop its spread. There was one study I'm sure I saw with that where they had to stop it early because the placebo side, so the side that didn't get the supplement, their atherosclerotic plaque was advancing so quickly they had to stop the study. Okay, that's how effective this was at stopping the spread. Now, the other ones are all standard. Resveratrol is like is a strong antioxidant, shown benefit. Garlic extract's been shown in loads of different studies to lower LDL, lower oxidized LDL, which is a benefit. Neo40 is beetroot extract. Really, really good at producing nitric oxide. Everyone jumps to arginine and citrulline in their supplements. As we get older, they don't work very well. So, like your problem with nitric oxide production isn't lack of arginine, it's that the enzyme doesn't work particularly well. So, beetroot extract, nitrates, nitrites that you find in beetroot tend to make that work a little bit better. I put down extract at the end of it, but pomegranate juice, when people have taken this for a year, I think it was 500 mil a day. So what's 8 ounces in milliliter? Around about that. So a pint of it, taken over a year with no other dietary intervention, was shown to stop the spread of atherosclerosis, and in one study reversed it slightly. So, like, pomegranate juice just by itself, and like in our industry, nobody likes juice because you don't get the fiber that's backed by it, and that's cool. I get that, but pomegranate juice has been shown to be really effective, and it's something that I've started to incorporate since reading that research, just in my general diet, because it doesn't have to be around arterial health. We see that organic pomegranate juice has been shown to lower antioxidants, to lower inflammation, and just do overall, actually be quite protective for the kidneys as well. Just do overall really cool things and lower blood pressure. Okay. So when we look back through, what does the plan look like? It's the diet almost looks like a DASH diet. So if anyone's seen what a DASH diet is, like really high fiber, adequate protein, proper oils, so like olive oil, fish oil, avocado oil, these kind of things. This protocol you'll be able to get soon enough. Stress reduction, whatever that looks like for you, proper sleep and aerobic training seem to be the most beneficial in terms of looking at overall heart health. What about butter? Tricky one. I'll talk about that in a minute, Russell. So we have to think about this because it's the most common cause of death, especially in men. There is multiple mechanisms outside of cholesterol that are causing this. So we have to know where, first of all, what our underlying problem is, if do we think there is another one. So I had one client recently, I'll use him as an example, who has been accumulating arterial plaque for years, and he couldn't find the mechanism. Standard medicine was just looking top down. So it was like statins, blood thinners, PCSK9 inhibitors, metformin. And they're not necessarily bad, right? I'm not necessarily against those things. They're pleiotropic. They do lots of different things outside of what the mechanism says. But he had a massive overgrowth of Klebsiella in his stomach. So he had bad gut health all his life. And that's what we're treating at the moment. And it'll be really interesting to see if that has any benefit in terms of stopping the spread. Because outside of that, his blood panels looked great. So we need to know what the mechanism is for us. There is some evidence that there is hope in reversing it. Is very much a lifestyle disease. So there is genetic components for people. So some people are just genetically predisposed to this, but for the vast majority of you, when people turn around to me and say, my dad had it, and so therefore I may have it. Have you had your genes tested? No. Did your dad eat a bad diet and smoke? Yeah. Have you been doing that? Yeah. Okay. Don't blame your genetics. There's so many things that you can do to try and influence this. Finding your status, this is one of the biggest ones, guys. Finding your status early is key to gaining control. If you smoked at any stage in your life, if you were overweight at any stage in your life, if you were exposed to a lot of different medications at any stage in your life, knowing where your plaque score is now will determine what the rest of your life looks like. So what I mean by that is, if you come back with a plaque score of zero, that's the goal. If your plaque score comes back as anything over, generally anything over zero, you have to concern yourself with, but anything over 50 to 100, it's the most important thing in your life right now. And letting that pass for another 10 years could be detrimental, because when people start coming into with arterial plaque scores of 600, 700, I'm like, doctor time. Like, this worries me. You need to go get medicated for this. I can help, and we can still do all the dietary things, but it's now out of my control. Your uncontrolled blood pressure, fuck. I don't know if there's too much damage here. I'm not giving you CoQ10 and hibiscus tea anymore. You got to go get that medicated because you're close to an event, right? Now I hope that makes sense. More than happy to hang around for as long as you guys need for questions. I realize I do end up talking a lot on these. So a coronary calcium score is generally what it's called. Butter, so saturated fat, especially when damage is already done, does seem to be a problem for sure. So I would not be looking at high saturated fat diets. Raw organic butter specifically, probably better. But I wouldn't make it a big part of my fat intake if I was to. The good thing about something like butter, though, is you can use it at high heats when cooking compared to something like olive oil, right? That'll tend to go, as far as I remember last time, will tend to go rancid, if you use it at such high heats. John, yes, you normally have to get it through your doctor. Unfortunately, in Canada, it's a pain in the ass for a lot of you guys. Unfortunately. Now, there is apparently places that, let me ask Ben, because obviously he knows a lot more about it in terms of the approaches in Canada. I know in the States, it's one of the easiest tests you guys can go and get done. If you go and you get a zero, not necessarily something you have to concern yourself with. All right. But if you look at people in your lives, fathers, brothers, friends who are accumulating some of these problems, this kind of stuff is really important for them as well. Anybody got any questions outside of that? Guy, good question. Don't know, Russell. I've not looked into it. I'm assuming the fat composition is the same, but I don't know. I know they take the dairy out of it. Coronary calcium score, Sarah. Sorry, she just asked me a private question. Has anybody else got any questions, concerns, something that they want to ask me, even if it's something outside of this particular topic?
Hi, Greg.
Hey.
Yeah, I had a quick question on. I'm sure you're familiar with Zoe, Tim Spector's work. I've kind of been following their kind of protocol for the last maybe 8 to 9 months, as I've had like a lot of digestive system problems, and I kind of like went through like the test and the blood test and the gut microbiome and whatnot, and they kind of like promote a more low protein diet, as opposed to a high protein diet. And I was just wondering how that relates to like the bodybuilding side of things and like muscle protein synthesis, because like they promote like a lot of beans as opposed to like animal proteins. And I know that, well, the research that I've done has been, you kind of have to get like a 25 to 60 grams of protein and hit your targets like 2.5 grams of leucine to get muscle protein synthesis activated. And I was just wondering how Zoe and that correlates, as it's kind of like conflicting information.
Yeah, so the information is very conflicting right now. So they will probably be basing, so when, especially if you're looking at gut microbiome, right? The research will always indicate that a more plant-based diet is more beneficial. Protein does not feed, it does actually technically, but it doesn't feed your gut microbiome in a very positive way. So you'll end up getting a growth of what are called proteobacteria, and it's in the name. They feed off protein, and they tend to be quite inflammatory. So that's why, particularly around that, why they would indicate that. In terms of longevity, that's why I don't know. I know of the company Zoe. In terms of their testing, blood tests, I don't know, but in terms of longevity, particularly in the animal model, mTOR is very much associated with early death. So for anybody listening, mTOR is a mammalian target of rapamycin, and it's basically a growth signaler. It signals growth within the body in any way, shape, or form. So we get a boost in mTOR when we lift weights and we eat protein, right? That sense tends to be selectively positive because it's going to lead to growth of muscle, which is a positive thing. But uncontrolled mTOR is really detrimental to our body because it leads to the growth of everything. So if you have uncontrolled mTOR, it'll lead to increased visceral fat, increased growth of cancer cells, increased growth of atherosclerosis within the arteries. The outside of that, Des, I don't know why people find it such a bad thing to eat in a higher protein targets because every single enzyme within our body, every single immune cell within our body is made up of protein. And in my own experience and in some of the research, you find quite immunodeficient people on a low protein diet. So why is it so conflicting? Because it always is in nutrition. And that's why normally I would always say it's somewhere in the middle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thanks for that.
But also, like, I also like to point, like horses for courses, what's the goal? So, like, if you want to put on muscle mass, which is positive for longevity, you have to, no, you don't have to. You very much should eat a high protein diet. Anybody else?
Greg, you mentioned earlier about nitric oxide. What would be
Hmm.
something like a simple, one to three things that somebody could start doing, like a little lifestyle hack if they had something that they could do to up that outside from their training they're getting with the coach?
Okay, so outside of training, eating as much leafy green vegetables as possible within reason, because it's got to fit within your diet, right? Because if you're trying to bulk and you add 200 to 300 grams of broccoli to your plate, it's going to become particularly difficult. The incorporation of beets are going to be really, really beneficial for you as well, because, and if any, actually, I'll come back to, I'll touch on this in a sec, because when we eat nitrates, when we chew them in our mouth, the bacteria within our mouth breaks them down to nitrites. And nitrites can be used as an alternative to arginine to create nitric oxide. Also, number three, if anybody is using commercial mouthwash, stop it because it kills that beneficial bacteria within your mouth. There was one study I saw where they gave athletes. So high level, I'm sure they were D1, but they were high level anyway, athletes. They gave them mouthwash for a certain period of time and nitric oxide dropped by about 50%. So it's big, man. Mouthwash. There is some more fancy ones out there that you can get that apparently don't do the same thing, but I'd still be wary of that. So avoid mouthwash.
Do you know much about the vagus nerve and like any type of like Ben talked about ohm breathing, stuff like that, and how it could have an effect on it? Do you know if there's any validity in that? Because I know one of my clients, where he got one of these, it was almost like a little shaver. It looked like one, right? But this big, and you'd hold it to the back of your neck. Remember Scott? He's the one, yeah, Scott, and he had that, and like it would just woo. And the whole point of it was like it was supposed to stimulate the vagus nerve, because obviously the vagus nerve and its roots and like that would in the gut, right?
So it's a good point. A lot of new mechanisms have come out, like things you put in your ear to stimulate your vagal nerve. So for anyone who doesn't know, the vagal nerve like innervates down through your gut and all your organs from the base of your brain, and it kind of regulates whether you're sympathetic or parasympathetic, so whether you're stressed or not. And so if you can stimulate the vagal nerve, it tends to relax everything. So it seems to be a real positive thing. The last time I looked at those, because I was interested in those when they first came out, a couple of years ago when you started to see them, there didn't seem to be any evidence to show that they actually benefited in stimulating the vagal nerve. The only two things that I've seen to be really, really beneficial is really, really aggressive gargling of water has been shown to stimulate the vagus nerve, and really loud singing has been shown to stimulate the vagus nerve.
I think it was like Ben would talk about how like ohm breathing, and this is completely from hearsay. It could be BS, right? Like ohm breathing, like monks did, was Steve's good, would basically just that thing alone was making them have like a nitric oxide production of like over like 200%, which is incredible from, what we were hearing just from sitting there and actually just doing that kind of stuff before training. But they weren't training, but that's what they were generating, right? So yeah, I'm just wondering.
I've never heard the om thing. So like I always like when people have vagal nerve problems, so like people who have traumatic brain injury, people who have really bad gut problems, I'll make them gargle water generally until their eyes water. So when we lose vagal tone, we lose the ability. There's always a couple of signs. First of all, you don't produce tears anymore. So if you cry and you don't produce tears, is a vagal tone problem.
No, they just showed it to me on the screen, and I don't even have the spec. They don't even know the number of the freaking cords.
I'm just going to mute him. And also, if you struggle to, if for periods of your time, like if you can take like 5 tablets and swallow them with water, and then all of a sudden you stop having the capability of doing that, that's normally a vagal nerve problem because the vagus nerve stimulates swallowing. So that's also an issue. So like with those people, like I said, I just get them to gargle water as aggressively as they can. Beetroot powder is a good pre-workout. I love beetroot powder. As general circulation, I love beetroot powder. It's not stimulatory, so people don't necessarily like it. But I can see that as a positive thing for some. Some people don't need the stimulation, right? I love beetroot as a pre-workout for sure. Anybody else got any questions? We got time. So,
Greg,
I go ahead, Andrew.
is there anything else kind of on this same topic of the stuff that we're talking about here in terms of just the amount of blood work that you've looked at? Anything kind of at face value and when people kind of see it to pay attention to?
So, what like a few of the things that I in general doctors' panels, I'll put it in the chat so everyone can have it. There's a few markers that very rarely get checked. And they can really give you indication of something else that's going on outside of LDL. There's a few. So they never get checked in standard blood tests. So homocysteine, like I said, is an issue with methylation. Fibrinogen is a big one. Anyone in the room who's on testosterone replacement, we have to understand when we use testosterone replacement, red blood cell count goes up. So the coagulation of your blood goes up, and fibrinogen will check for that. So if you ever come back with a high fibrinogen level, natokinase, bar none, and fish oil and vitamin E can help as well at lowering that. Also giving blood, don't get me wrong. So I know a lot of the guys who are on testosterone tend to give blood every 3 to 6 months, which is positive as well. But oxidized LDL is a good way to see there's actually some sort of inflammation going on. CRP is just a general inflammatory marker that you see in people. So these are really positive things that you can look for in a blood test outside of standard LDL that can be beneficial and helpful. Also, correcting gut health. I have a protocol, should be up, I think, for blood pressure. So if any of you guys have elevated blood pressure, like your blood pressure is above 130, definitely, it needs to be one of your first things that you need to correct before you move on to anything else. Blood pressure is the thing that we can control and affect. If you let it go for too long, all of a sudden, it's no longer in your hands, it's in a doctor's hands because the damage is already done and he needs to lower your blood pressure, right? So it's important. It's not fancy, it's not sexy, but it's important. So I got a message back, Ben. So anyone who's in Toronto, which you're in Burlington, right, John?
Toronto.
Oh, sweet. So Ben has a guy in Toronto who will do it.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, worth getting. So for you guys in the States, look up a coronary calcium score in your area, man. It's like $50. I'd kill for it to be that price here. Make sure you do.
Who can I get that off for the person?
I'll get the name of the place as soon as I'm off, and I'll send it over to you.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Anything else, guys? Anything else nutrition-wise? Otherwise, I'm gonna call it a night. All right, brothers. Thank you very much for joining me. I hope you all have a good night. And if you need anything, don't forget, if you want to book on to Spain, Marbella, you only got 3 weeks. Thank you all. I'll see you
Solid
soon.
info as always, Greg. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you all.
Thanks a lot.